Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts not only be acceptable in thy sight while we are here together, but also when we go out into the world. In the strong and powerful name of Christ we pray. Amen. Our scripture today comes from Romans, the 15th chapter, the 23rd through the 29th verses. Hear now the word of God. But now I have finished my work in these regions, and after all these long years of waiting, I'm eager to visit you. I'm planning to go to Spain, and when I do, I will stop off in Rome. And after I have enjoyed your fellowship for a little while, you can provide for my journey. But before I come, I must go to Jerusalem to take a gift to the believers there. For you see, the believers in Macedonia and Achaia have eagerly taken up an offering for the poor among the believers in Jerusalem. They were glad to do this because they feel they owe a real debt to them, since the Gentiles receive the spiritual blessings of the good news from the believers in Jerusalem. They feel the least they can do in return is to help them financially. As soon as I have delivered this money and completed this good deed of theirs, I will come to see you on my way to Spain. And I am sure that when I come, Christ will richly bless our time together. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. I like Paul. I think you know that by now. I know that some of you in the past have expressed maybe you're not such affection for him. I know some ladies who have over the years have expressed their displeasure with Paul. But it was not until I went to seminary that I really came to love him for his dedication to Jesus Christ. Until I went to seminary, I had read the Bible multiple times, of course, and I read each book within itself and never really thought about the context and how they are connected. We find Paul, or Saul, at first in chapter 7 of Acts. A few chapters before, we find out that the apostles, in their growing church, in their responsibilities to the church, they have more to do than they have time to do. And so they decided they needed some deacons, some people to help serve. It was interesting that even in the early church, they wanted you to be spiritually mature to wait on tables. They wanted you spiritually mature. And one of the seven that was chosen was a man named Stephen. He was on fire for God. And he went about his business. And he angered other Jews. He angered them because he was a threat to them. And then in chapter 7 or 8, we find that he is stoned. And Saul is there. And with his presence there, he shows his approval of the murder of Stephen. In chapter 9, we read of how Saul goes to the religious authorities and says, I want to go to Damascus. They have some of those Jesus followers, and I want to go there and persecute them like we've done here. He goes with their authority. On the way, he has an experience with Jesus. He's struck blind, and they lead him by hand on that road to Damascus to Judas's house on Straight Street, where he is praying in his blindness. While he is there in another part of town, a man named Ananias, a follower of Christ, is having a vision where the Lord says, Ananias, go to Straight Street to Judas's house. You need to see Saul. And Ananias says, whoa, I've heard of him. He's bad news. He's a persecutor of Christians. And the Lord says to him, no, he has been there praying. He is a chosen vessel of mine to teach and preach the good news to the Gentiles. And he's going to suffer greatly over his life. And he goes. and baptizes Saul. From the 10th chapter through the end of Acts, we see the culmination of that prophecy by the Lord in the life of Saul, who turns to Paul. Paul goes on a couple of missionary journeys. On the second missionary journey, he makes it all the way around to Philippi, Thessalonica. He makes it to Athens and ends up in Corinth. And while he is in Corinth, he is some 600 miles from Rome. And while he is there, he writes the letter to the church at Rome. Interestingly, in chapter 1, this is what Paul says to the people of Rome. "I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to visit you, but I was prevented until now. I want to work among you and see spiritual fruit, just as I have seen among other Gentiles, for I have great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world, to the educated and the uneducated alike. So I am eager to come to you in Rome to preach the good news, for I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Gentiles." That's what he says at the beginning. But something happens between chapter 1 and chapter 15. You see, Paul knows the greatest problem and barrier to Christianity in the first century is divisiveness. There is a great divide in Christianity, and that divide is between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. The Jewish Christians believe that in order to be truly a Christian, you must become a Jew. If you're a male, that means you need to be circumcised. You need to be a Jew first. The Gentiles said, "No, I don't think so." We know that in the 10th chapter of Acts, Peter has an experience with Cornelius, a Gentile who the Holy Spirit comes down upon and he accepts Christ, which is a sign that even Gentiles can be followers of Christ or a part of the chosen, the faithful. In Acts 15, we hear of the Jerusalem Council, where Peter and the apostles and Paul make it to Jerusalem, and they make a decision. They decide that you really don't have to be a Jew to be a Christian. And then Peter and Paul make a decision, or Peter says, "We're going to keep preaching the good news to the Jews, and you preach to the Gentiles. There are a couple of things you don't need to do, and you keep them from doing those, and we're okay." But what we know is just because somebody makes a decision in Washington or Atlanta or in Jerusalem, it doesn't mean it's going to change the hearts and minds of the people in the communities, does it? Just because they signed the Civil Rights Act in 1963 or 64, it didn't change the hearts and minds of all the people in America, did it? No. Just because they did it. And they had problems throughout the first century. And so when these first century Jewish Christians who are being persecuted in Jerusalem, when their need makes it all the way to Macedonia and makes its way all the way to Achaia, these Gentile Christians in their poverty take up an offering for those Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. If we think about it in today's terms, in the midst of our division within our own denomination, and I'm just going to throw two churches up in there. If you think of Mount Bethel in Marietta, one of the most strongest traditionalist conservative United Methodist churches in North Georgia, and then you think of St. Mark United Methodist Church on Peachtree in downtown Atlanta is the most progressive. It would be as if Mount Bethel took up an offering and sent it downtown to St. Mark. Great divide, great gift, because that's what you're supposed to do. Paul is sitting in Corinth, 600 miles from Rome. He's not that far. I don't know if the 600 miles is by sea and then land, or if it's sea a long way and a little bit of land, or all land, but it's about 600 miles. And he decides, I can't go. He's been wanting to go for months, years maybe, it says in the first chapter. He's been wanting to go to Rome for a long, long time. And now he can't. Because there is something more important than going to Rome and going to Spain. He could have very well given the offering to Timothy or Luke or somebody else who was traveling with him and said, take this to Jerusalem and tell them it's from the two churches. But the message was too important to do. Many years ago, I used to fly about every week, and I'd go to Springfield, Missouri. The only thing that I know of from Springfield, Missouri, that's where the Bass Pro Shop was founded. And back when I was going, they only had one or two Bass Pro Shops. So every Monday night after I landed, I would go to the Bass Pro Shop and look at that big aquarium with the big fish. But getting to Springfield is not easy, because you would have to come to Atlanta, and I'd come to Atlanta, and I would fly into St. Louis, which is a hard place to get through. Two runways pretty close together. If a thunder shower happens within 100 miles of St. Louis, they're going to close down the runways. And when you get there, I have to get on a puddle jumper with about 14 other people, and we fly out of Springfield. One day, I'm supposed to come home, but my flight out of St. Louis has been canceled. And the only thing I want to do is get home. So I go to this ticket window and I say, how can I get home without going through St. Louis? They said, you can go from here to Houston. Say, what? I thought that was the silliest thing in the world. They said, well, you could go to Chicago. Can I take my chances somewhere else? I don't want to go any more extra miles than I have to. I'm the shortest distance between two points kind of guy. That's what I want to do, is get home. There was no way I was going a longer distance to do what I needed to do. When I think of Paul being 600 miles from Rome, I'm thinking he should have gone to Rome. He should have gone to Rome. Anybody with any sense would have gone to Rome. After he got through with Rome and Spain, he could have then gone back. No big deal. But it was a big deal. It was such a big deal that he decided to go 1,900 miles from Corinth back to Jerusalem. And then 2,500 miles from Jerusalem to Rome. It was that important. You see, there is no better time to do the right thing than the present time, when we're talking of matters about faith, when we're talking about growing in our faith, when we're talking about being good stewards with all that God has given us, all the blessings of God. So often in churches, we associate stewardship with finances, and that is true, but there are so many other things that we have been entrusted to be the stewards of. You go back to Genesis 1, and we are to be the stewards of this earth and how we care for the earth. But it is more than finances when we think about stewardship and our relationship with the Lord. You see, there is no better day than today to decide to have a closer relationship with the Lord. I'm convinced. And I believe that those promises we make when we join the church, and when we reaffirm those when other people join the church, is a good place to start. And the first one is, we promise that we will support the church with our prayers. Y'all know it. So y'all must have said it before. We are to support the church with our prayers. And I'm convinced that there are many of us who are so-called Christians and faithful members whose prayer life is lacking, do not have a prayer time. One of the things that I have done over the years is when the Lord, I'm going to say, there are times when I'm riding down the road or I'm working or I'm doing something and somebody's name will pop into my mind. Have you ever thought about why that thought, that name popped into your mind? Have you ever thought it could be the Holy Spirit bringing them to your mind because they need prayer? They need people praying for them. So if we're called biblically to pray without ceasing, that is a good way to pray without ceasing. As names come to our mind, we pray for those. It means setting aside time to go into that prayer closet, which is a biblical admonition to us to pray. And I love the Acts, A-C-T-S, period. Adoration. If you think that song we just sang about God chasing us, God has been pursuing us since we were born to be in relationship with us. He gave his only begotten Son to die on a cross for us when we were not worthy of his love, not worthy of mercy, or not worthy of any of those things. God wants to be in relationship with us, and we need to praise him for that. And since we fail, we all need to confess all the things that ways we fail Christ. We fail God. With all that, when every good and perfect gift comes from God, we always have something to be thankful for. And supplication, praying for others, praying for people everywhere, praying for things like the pandemic and all the world and the church. And we can pray, but then we need to be about praying as we listen, how we can be Christ in those situations. Prayer. Then we promise that we will, through our prayers and our presence, being here. We have created, COVID has created a way to separate us from our presence, being, it, hasn't it? People, there are people who have legitimate reasons for not being here, and I want them to feel safe to come to church. But there, I know so there are also people that use it for an excuse. See, presence is important because it is us coming together as the family of God, worshiping together. The body of Christ, a fellowship of believers, is a part of God's plan for the redemption of the world. It's important that we are here together. We will never know, I'm convinced, we will never know what a smile will do for somebody who we are worshiping with. We will never know the power of a smile, a kind word, a hug, a handshake, a pat on the back, an arm around the shoulder, sitting so quietly, holding their hand, singing when they can't sing, or them singing when we can't sing. Presence is a powerful thing, and we need each other. It's not for what I just get out of church. It's great to have a big crowd when you're preaching. But it's what you get and what other people get from you when we are all dedicated to be present in the lives of a community of faith. Presence. Service. God has given to each of us gifts, graces, and talents. All that can be used to his glory and the furthering of the kingdom of God in this community. I've said it before. Every gift and grace and talent that is needed to reach this community, this church has. We have it within the membership and the friends of Kingswood. And if we need any more, God will send the people to us if we only begin to use our own gifts and graces more and more. Then we have our finances. Well, this is what I know about my own faith journey. My faith journey began with reading the Bible more. And God went to work reading it more, as in every day. And then it grew deeper as I began to pray. Presence in church was important. But I will tell you, our faith journey did not grow fully until we began to trust God with all that we have. That saying is, if you won't trust God with the temporal things of this world, what makes you think you can trust him with the eternal? When I think of our finances, I want him to be the Lord of our finances as well. And as Barbara and Norman said last week, it was difficult for them when they took that step. It was difficult for us many years ago. But what I've learned is now, there's no way in the world I would change from what we're doing. I would never go back to not tithing or not giving, because it is an act of worship, of saying in word and deed that God, you are the Lord of my life. And I'm convinced that those in our congregation and membership who tithe, they feel the same way. Their growth and their faith journey exploded when they began to tithe. And as Greg was saying, if you don't tithe, work toward it. You won't regret. And then our witness. I believe that the more we grow in every aspect of our faith journey, in our presence, in our prayers, and in our service, and in our gifts, and all those things, as we begin not only to speak, but also people to see our closeness and our relationship with the Lord, our witness will be there too. You see, there is no better time than the present to get close to God. There are times in my life where I will put things off because I'm stubborn. There are times when somebody might tell you, you need to have this done in the next little while. You don't have to do it today, but you need to think about doing it. And we will do that. And sometimes we will listen to everybody in the world other than to God. And we'll put things off because we really want to be the Lord of our own life. But in the matters of faith, there is no better day than today. And so I pray that we all begin to pray for one another, pray for our stewardship, praying for our faith in Christ, and pray that we'll be willing to take that step together. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Paul, who knew that that day was the day to do the right thing, to go to Jerusalem, to do and to interpret a gift. May we be willing to do the same. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.